Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I'm Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Matt Doyle, staring at me across this table back in the studio, David Goss, in the beautiful confines of the Midwest Rust Belt. Indianapolis is his location. Tom Bogert will join us in a little bit to do the Golden Boot Draft. It is the best day of the year. It's the Extra Time Awards show. It's the Golden Boot Draft.
Is this your favorite show?
It is.
Okay.
By far. There's no consequences to any take. It's complete open season. There are always good debates, and the spirit of Ben Bear runs in the undercurrents of
and
this show.
And are we just doing Golden Boot Draft, or are we doing Trophy Draft as well?
Well, that's a good question. Trophy Draft is going to come on Monday. We'll record that on Friday, as well as your preview for the first game of the MLS season. That is Inter-Miami RSL on Wednesday, February 21st, 8 p.m. Eastern, MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Same price as last year. Go get subscribed. Get ready. The glut of games, the glut of content is coming. Be prepared. We don't have time on this show, by the way, to tell you about the heartbreak in CONCACAF Champions Cup. The Whitecaps did what MLS teams do. They went to El Volcan, they left El Volcan, and their journey is over. Tigres, not playing their best, don't have to play their best. Just ho-hum, walk on past. Not so ho-hum for Club America. Real Esteli could not follow up on their historic win. America is through. We will have more coverage of CCC when we have more time to give it. But before we get into everything, the Inter-Miami fire sale that Tom Bogert is coming, the awards predictions, the Golden Boot Draft, we have a DM, David Goss, and it says that you should be arrested for your pronunciation of New Orleans, partitioning the mayor to ban David from the city. Now, there's a couple things going on here. I believe, Dave, you said New Orleans. Can you care to comment on that from the last show?
I think it's class that that's clearly how you say it, and then you just starting this segment had to try and say it the correct way as hard as you could.
The problem
and
it
was clearly obvious.
Yeah, the problem is I knew the correct way, but I had all of your incorrect ways bouncing through my head, but you've correctly called me out on that one. Now I won't.
Narlins, baby.
Narlins. Narlins. Now, this DMer did say partitioning the mayor. Now it's petitioning, so errors are running rampant in my DMs these days. Let's talk about not an error, but a deadline, Doyle. Roster compliance day is coming up. I believe it's 5 days away. Inter-Miami is not roster compliant. Tom Bogert said there's a potential fire sale coming. Here are some of the names that he said are potentially moving out. Gregory, John Mota, DeAndre Yedlin, Robert Taylor, Sergei Kristoff. Not all probably leaving, but some. You're calling up Chris Henderson right now if you're an MLS GM, no?
Yeah, or if you're in Brazil, which has, there are many clubs there that have interest in Gregory and John Mota. I would expect one or both of those guys to be moved, maybe even by the time the show goes live. I think that we saw this coming a little bit. We wondered how Miami was getting so many excellent players onto their roster, and it turns out they were doing so by hoping and praying that they would be able to move a couple of them by the time of the roster compliant date. Just for the record, roster compliant date for compliance date for Miami and RSL is Monday. For everyone else in the league, it's next Friday, the 23rd, and that's it's probably Tuesday for Miami and RSL because they play on Wednesday. For everyone else, it's Friday. They all play on Saturday. So it's coming up quick. They have some work to do. The thing is, the players that Tom listed, they're all very good players, man. So there is going to be interest. It does not feel like Miami are necessarily negotiating from a position of strength, though, given that everyone knows, it seems, that they have to move these guys. The two that shocked me are DeAndre Yedlin and Robert Taylor, in particular because DeAndre Yedlin's the only natural right back on that roster, and because the one thing that you need if you have Messi is guys who stretch the field, guys who run in behind, and both Yedlin and Taylor had a ton of success last year doing that for Miami. I will confirm Tom's reporting In fact, I don't even know that Tom reported this yet, but I'm assuming he did, that Robert Taylor was almost sold to a team in Saudi Arabia. I have that from multiple sources around the club. And at the last minute, he said, no, I don't think I want to play in Saudi Arabia. So he rejected what presumably would have been a bag. But he's a good player, man. And there are going to be teams in MLS. Like, everybody needs wingers. And this guy knows where the goal is. So it's going to be an interesting couple of days for Inter Miami. I'm still picking him to win the Shield, though. It's freaking messy.
Watch out. Watch out. Trophy draft coming up already. Inter Miami, top of the list, says Matt Doyle. But yes, there is some work to be done. We will tell you more about Inter Miami, their situation, their roster, their expectations.
Can I make one more?
Everything under the sun on President's Day.
Okay, I'll stop then.
Yeah, you know, we got to save some content, man. Got to save it. All right, let's dive in. Extra Time Award Show. We will do your traditional awards as we always do. Newcomer of the Year, MVP, Defender of the Year. We'll go through that entire list. 3 minutes per award. Otherwise, Anders might jump across this table and strangle me. And then we're going to do the Extra Time Awards, which is where we fill in the blanks. Best 11 never honors D-mids or fullbacks. We always do. That's part of our ethos. The David Gostherin Player of the Year. It's back. Dave's got a long list to go through on that. The Dom Baggi first time double-digit score, et cetera, et cetera. And then we'll get in the Golden Boot draft where Tom slash Kalen are defending their title. Let's just get it going here. Newcomer of the year. Georgios Giakoumakis is your defending champion in this category. What kind of rules do we have around Messi and Suarez as award picks?
I mean, well, just in terms of Newcomer of the Year, Messi arrived last year.
Yeah, so he's count, not but eligible. I'm asking a general question here.
Like, what rules?
I can take Suarez here, no issues.
Yeah.
But raise the rent. I'm grinding. No Suarez for me. One of you guys can take him. I am going to take, right now, Petr Musa. Petr Musa for FC Dallas. I think there's another level they can get to. Jesus Ferreira in a better position to be both playmaker, but also finish plays. That'll benefit Musa. He has a good goal-scoring record, and he's hungry for an opportunity as the guy, the starter. This is the guy that they're most likely building around, that attack around. Ferreira could be sold. Areola could be gone. Camungo could be sold. But there's so much talent around Petr Musa. They're going to have the ball. Now, if Nico Estevez just takes the handcuffs off a little bit and gives more freedom to this attack, I could easily see a 15 to 20 goal season for Petr Musa and then another 6-7 assists, depending on how it all goes. Musa is my choice, but there are so many options here, and it's speeding up. Emil Forsberg, I wrestled with that one. Amal Pellegrino, for whatever reason, I have a soft spot for that signing, even though I know basically nothing about it, other than Bodo Glimt is like up at the top of the world.
Isn't he from Odd Grenland?
No.
No, okay.
That's a different one. Okay. That's Red Bulls. They just signed a winger. Yeah, yes, yeah. U22 signing. That's the time of year it is. So I'm going to go with Petr Musa. Who's going to go with Luis Suarez? Dave? Doyle? Anybody want to take him?
I mean, I predicted him in the, like, our good buddy Jonathan Siegel sent out predictions or a spreadsheet for season predictions. I chose Suarez as the newcomer of the year. I know everybody's making, like, he looked bad in preseason and everybody's making a very big deal about his knees. He played like 4,000 minutes in Brazil last year and was the player of the year. I don't think he's washed yet. The other one who has looked really good is Emil Forsberg. And if the Red Bulls actually put the ball in the back of the net this year, he will be probably the biggest reason why. And that will be whether he produces a ton of goals and assists himself, that will be his case for newcomer of the year.
Who you got, Dave?
So I'm going with Forsberg. I think we talked about Red Bulls. It's a talent on a level they haven't signed in 10 years. Fits the system perfectly. And then you have some other pieces that might be fitting in around him that could be pretty high level as well. And Luis Morgan, potential Gostherin and Van Zier, U22 signing, et cetera. So I go Forsberg.
I love that Morgan got the Spanish treatment there. That was beautiful. Luis Morgan, let's go. All right, there are choices on newcomer of the year. Young player of the year, that's your territory, Goss. Thiago Almada is the defending champion.
And for clarification for people, this is for players who are 22 this year. So there are many players on this list who are not 22, under 22 eligible, which means you have to be under the age of 22 when the season ends. So there are a few players we saw, like Thiago Almada last year was one of those examples, not eligible. He won it. There are a few players in that conversation that are 22 that could be big time contenders for this. Bernard Kumungo is on that list. Teddy Kudipietro is on that list. John Tolkien, who had 2 goals and 6 assists in the regular season for a fullback and 1 goal and 2 assists in the playoffs, can be on that list as well. The big one, though, of the 22-year-olds that I have is Talis Magno and Christian Oliveira. I think Christian Oliveira is going to be huge. When you look at last year, all of his underlying numbers were off the charts. He literally could
just
not
like
score
Brian
the ball.
Rodriguez. Just like Brian Rodriguez.
Just
man.
Like Denny Bouanga.
So I'm choosing the Denny Bouanga path there instead of the Brian Rodriguez path. And I'm going to trust Oliveira. I think Talis Magno, you look back, last year, 4 goals, 3 assists in 2,000 minutes. The year before, 7 goals and 10 assists, including a playoff goal on top of that. I think he returns with the talent that's coming into this team. But the number, my pick for it, is going to be Brian Gutierrez. If you think Hugo Kuiper is going to come in and score goals, if you think Chicago is going to be any better, then you look at Gutierrez, who had 2 goals, 9 assists last year, 7 assists the year before. You assume he ups those numbers. He continues to perform at a high level. He's a starter. He's a linchpin. And this is voting. I think if he plays in the Olympics well, that will affect the way people vote.
Who you got?
David gave a really good list there.
I love that list.
Did he mention Aiden Morris? Aiden Morris was really good last year, and he's another one who's eligible for Young Player of the Year, but not 22, under 22 this year. It wouldn't shock me at all. But the guy I'm going with is actually younger, Caleb Wiley. He was awesome for Atlanta last year on the overlap, played a little bit on the wing, and then most of the rest of the season at left back. I think he'll be one of the best left backs in the league. I think he'll be that for one of the best attacks in the league. And so the numbers will kind of make the case for him. And then he'll also have some, we'll call it narrative strength, because I think he's going to play his way into an 8-figure transfer. And I think that that is going to matter to people who maybe don't pay quite as much attention to MLS as we do. Not that Wiley won't be worth the shout, but like he's a special player. The other one I was thinking of was Diego Luna. If he, you know, levels up his playmaking, because he started scoring goals last year, if he becomes a playmaker that we saw in USL and with the U20s, he could be the guy.
Ah, there's the buzzer on this.
Make a
fine
pick. Just say a name.
Aiden Morris is not eligible. I believe it's January 1, 2002, birth dates and on. Bernie Kumungo is born on the line. Otherwise, I think Aiden Morris would have been the pick in this category. I'm going to throw out Diego Gomez for Inter Miami. He has been absolute nails, according to all reports, down in Coma Bowl Olympic qualifying for Paraguay. Look at some of these transfers that Miami's talking about making. There's an opportunity there for Gomez to have a big bump. He might even be a David Gostirin player of the year, because I thought he was a little bit shaky last year in his first year in MLS.
Hey, and if they get Federico Redondo, it might just be him, man. He's so good.
The math on all this is, I'll let Chris Henderson do that math while GMs blow up his phone saying, I'll offer you a bag of balls for these MLS starters. How about the goalkeeper of the year, Doyle?
It was Roman Berkey last year. I think he's a pretty solid bet this year. But Daniel actually outperformed him in terms of pure shot stopping for a San Jose Quakes Earthquakes team that desperately needed it. He missed about 1,000 minutes, so he wasn't really in the discussion. And of course, the Quakes were nowhere near as good as St. Louis, so he didn't have that either. But the dude was just phenomenal. Like it wasn't quite as good as Georgi Petrovic in Georgie's first year, but it was like Matt Turner, Andre Blake level season. I picked him on that spreadsheet that Siegel asked us to fill out that neither of you guys have done yet.
I haven't done yet. By the way, Jonathan Siegel, editor extraordinaire at MLSsoccer.com.
Yeah, doing
all the coverage, everything you need right there at MLSsoccer.
The man's doing 3 jobs right now.
To be clear, I haven't been sent it. But if I have, I apologize, Siegel. So either way.
Wow. It's just like you. Hey, we're all invited to this birthday party, right, Dave? But you,
not David.
You haven't responded to the invite.
I think Daniel and Berkey are probably the two favorites. Tim Melia was awesome last year when he came back from injury. If he's healthy the full year, I wouldn't be shocked to see it. And like, he's never won he never has won goalkeeper of the year. Neither has Stefan Fry. I think he did not look washed last year. And then Brad Stuver continues to be super underrated. Andre Blake is properly rated as one of the greatest goalkeepers in MLS history. I think that's the cadre of guys.
There is a sort of a duality of this award. One is that you are the goalkeeper for the best defense in the league, and there's value to that. Then there's the other side, which Roman Berkey was, which is you are a goalkeeper that faces a lot of shots, and Daniel was in the same position, and you make a bigger difference than anyone else. We'll see where it goes. I'd throw out a couple other names. New names, Josh Cohen, Ravas in New England, going to play for good teams, but teams that give up chances and have an opportunity to stand out on goals denied, basically on XG. And Hugo Lloris. I mean, I think the name value there, if we're talking about strength of narrative coming into LAFC, that's a big one. Any names we didn't hit, Dave, that you want to make sure are covered?
Was Carlos Cornell mentioned?
He wasn't.
Yeah, I think, again, they will be a top three defense in the league. And the other one would be Martin Paas, because I think both of those teams are going to be up in the elite defensive conversation. I think now with the attacking piece they have, they'll be in a top four convo. And I think that's how most voters start with their looks.
I'm going to throw this at you guys. Yay or nay, Zach Steffen of the Colorado Rapids, a top five goalkeeper in MLS in 2024.
I will say nay, because he looked like he lost so much by not playing week to week with Manchester City. He lost that sharpness, but maybe after a couple games, he gets it right back. And I know that when the signing was made, Tom called him one of the favorites for goalkeeper of the year. So that's a vote of confidence from Tom Bogert.
We're going to hold his feet to the fire on that one.
Keep that name next to Tom when we do the review show.
Yeah, that's Tom. That's Tom. Defender of the year, Dave. Matt Miazga is your defending defender of the year. He will miss a few games here from his suspension in the playoffs, but that'll make it hard to repeat. Give me your name and maybe the list of guys you think could be finalists.
Matt Miazga won it last year. Jakob Glesnes won it the year before. Walker Zimmerman won it twice the 2 years before. So most likely the winner will be American and a center back. Those three, I think, come into the year as pretty big favorites already. Then you have the group that's trying to break in. Robin Jansen, I think, the leader of that group. He was one of the top vote getters last year. I think Yaimar will be back in that combo with the way Seattle will play.
Yaimar as opposed to Jackson Reagan.
Yeah, I'm going to take that risk. And I feel comfortable with it. So those are two that I think could break in. Miles Robinson's an interesting conversation because you mentioned the suspension for Miazga. We know Miazga can sort of lose his head at times if Robinson plays the whole year and people are looking at a Cincinnati vote, but that also means they probably split each other's votes. The two that I'm most interested by, Thiago Martins, NYCFC, underlying one of the best defensive teams in the league last year. Now that the attack comes along and they're back in a playoff convo, does he look like the leader along the back that they were hoping for? And the big ones, of course, Nkosi Tafari. Mm-hmm. Let's go FC Dallas. He's going to be at the center of a back three. It feels like it's just a comfortable position for him. I think he's going to stand out as the elite player along that back line. As I talked about with Martin Paas, I think, again, they're going to be one of the best defenses in the league, and they're going to be really good. And he goes into the line of domestic center backs, players who are sort of breaking through for good teams.
You look at it
and you try and find a new name. Exactly.
I like the Tafari one. Because there's if you go to the narrative side of this, and unfortunately or fortunately, depends on your point of view, these traditional awards are very narrative dependent. If you are a defender who is accepted as the best defender on your team and you score goals, particularly from set pieces, and your collective defense is good, you will be in the running.
So
Tafari scores goals, they're going to have a good defense, and he is going to be sort of accepted as the best center back in the group.
That is a strong case. Can the same case be made for either of the Red Bull guys? Because Sean Nealis and Andres Reyes, like, they don't play pretty soccer, but they are so damn effective. And they had, by the numbers, they had one of the best defenses in the league last year.
But as we said, who's ID'd as the best defender? I think they split votes, and that's where you get
that's true
trouble.
For Miazga and Robinson.
100%, mm-hmm. Which is where I think we're probably looking at a third year of Walker Zimmerman if this comes through, or maybe that's where I think that Tafari can break through because he's the lone guy.
Could there be a Steven Moreira push because he plays center back differently than all the guys we're talking about, but it's just as crucial to how the crew play?
I thought about all the crew guys. I think people are going to find it hard to give it to someone who plays for a team that's going to be.
They'll give up 45 goals as opposed to 32.
Bottom five or six. Exactly. I think the Vancouver guys are interesting if that team steps up and plays well. Mikael is a big one, or if Houston can hold the line with Achi out and he plays similar to last year, I think he's an interesting one as well. And then Danny Rosero was the other one that I had on the list if SKC plays the way they finished last year.
There's a ton of incoming guys as well. It's, you know, you can call it a gamble. You can call it a sure thing, depending on the profile and the scouting. But a bunch of guys coming in from Scandinavia, from Portugal, and elsewhere, a lot of new center backs in the league. So keep an eye on that position. And, we'll get their love later.
Can I just throw in? So before Walker, it was Aikopara, Aaron Long, Aikopara, Matt Hedges. So the odds that it is a new player coming into this league are pretty low.
Fair enough. All right, let's hit the coach of the year, Doyle. Pat Noonan is your defending coach of the year. Who are your front runners and who's getting this thing?
Yeah, I mean, it always looks like at this point it goes to the Supporters Shield winner, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's understandable. I don't have any real – I voted for Bradley Carnell last year. I voted for Wilfred Nancy 2 years ago, though I guess Jim Curtin won 2 years ago, not Steve Cherundolo. He didn't win the Supporters Shield. They just tied on points. The year before that, it was Bruce Arena. So it comes down to who you're picking to win the Supporters Shield. For me, I'm going to pick Miami to win the Supporters Shield. I don't think Tata will get Coach of the Year, though. Looking at it, I think there's an opening here. You ready with the drops, Anders? I think there's an opening here for Brian Schmetzer.
Oh.
Almost like a lifetime.
You could see Anders like checking. There's like a sad trombone one, and he was checking his buttons. Yeah, make sure he didn't hit the wrong thing for Brian.
I just think the East is much better than the West. I think that Seattle are like full as a team. They have an identity, and they have upgraded at crucial spots. So it wouldn't surprise me if they came out of the gates, won a lot of games, and were up in the Shield race the entire year. And at that point, it becomes almost like a lifetime achievement award because Schmetzer's never won Coach of the Year. I think he's finished top three only once. So I think he's probably the favorite here, but it's like we're cutting it real close. You could see Wilfred Nancy getting an award. Like, he's never won Coach of the Year. We get, like, if one of the new guys, Sandro Schwartz, comes in and the Red Bulls score 65 goals, then there will be a lot of movement for Sandro Schwartz, that type of thing. But it forced me to pick one at this point, and it's Schmetz.
Tata's off the board. Brian Schmetzer's off the board. Dave, who would your next pick be?
It's so obviously going to be Wilfred Nancy. No one who votes for these awards watches MLS except for the playoffs. They're all going to vote based off last year, which they should have voted based off 2 years ago. It is so clearly going to be Nancy if it's not Tata. Same as Doyle, I voted for Nancy 2 years ago. I voted for Carnell last year. I'm going to, you know, I think there's a really good chance that Columbus probably finishes top three in the East. Like, I don't know that they're going to blow the doors off and win Supporter Shield. I don't know that they're going to go toe-to-toe with Miami or win 18 trophies. They're going to be good enough where their progression looks the same and like they are at an equal level to last year coming into the end of the season, and people are going to vote for them.
I'm going to throw one out with the news here today. Luis Muriel signing for Orlando in the season Orlando had last year. Poppy. I'm going to throw Oscar Pareja into this mix as well because I think there's a good chance that through the course of a regular season they grind it out, find their way to win the Shield, and if they do that, I think Orlando City and Oscar Pareja will be getting that honor down the line, but we shall see. I just want to establish for Cincinnati folks out there, I did vote for Pat Noonan. I changed my tune when it came time.
Pat Noonan was a deserving winner, yeah. But
either way,
Bradley Carnell was the first coach of an expansion team to actually win the division.
Like, he's in the same category as Wilfred.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Wilfred should have absolutely won it with Montreal, didn't, but he got his roses a year later. We have more on the Wilfred Nancy, coach of the year, basically first year coach to thrive, coming up later in the ETR awards. All right, comeback player of the year, our favorite award here on Extra Time. We both understand it, loathe it, and respect it. There are two categories of this, your traditional comeback player of the award, coming back from something that's an actual challenge, physically, injury-wise, etc., absence. And in that category, I've got a lot of different candidates. We can narrow them down here. Dylan Barrera.
Can I interrupt?
Yeah.
I just messaged Jonathan Siegel, and he has rectified his mistake of not sending power rankings votes.
You're invited to
and
the party,
preseason
Dave.
Predictions to David Goss.
You're in.
Let's go.
You got in the
door. I love when it's not my fault. That's my favorite thing. Rather than be invited, I'd rather for someone else make a mistake.
The comeback voter of the year goes to David Goss. The comeback player of the year, Dylan Barrero. I don't think he's quite ready to be back, but has upside. He should perform well once he gets into the lineup for the Revs or off the bench. And he had a bad injury. Diego Rubio, do we think he can count? He played some last year, not a ton.
Not a ton.
No. Sebastian Legette, there were injuries. He was also coming back from some life challenges. Gaston Brugman's a good one. Robin Lode is a good one. And then Raul Ruiz Diaz I would throw in here as well. Who would you choose from that group?
Aren't you supposed to make a choice?
I was trying to ship it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Robin Lode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gone most of the season on a team, though sans coach, has high level talent that he should be able to elevate and also thrive beneath.
The argument against him is he doesn't put up numbers.
The numbers.
And voters look at the numbers. Raul Ruiz Diaz, I still think, has 13 goals in him, right? And if he comes out, Anders is taking the over. Raul Ruiz Diaz has 18 goals in him. He's nodding. Anders likes that. Come on, hit me with a drop.
What would your real over-under be, though, on the goals for Ruiz Diaz?
8.5.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. 12, 18, that's a bit much.
But if he ends up in double-digit numbers and the Sounders play well, then he will have a lot of narrative strength happening right there. Go ahead, David.
So you picked Robin Lud, who played about 900 minutes last year for Minnesota. Emmanuel Reynoso only played 1,300 minutes for Minnesota. So is he on this list?
He already came back. Dave, he came back. He came back. No, he came back. Like, he was gone, and then he came back. So
physically came back.
Yeah, he's already done this.
Okay.
Would Sebastian Ferreira count?
Sebas has to be the guy. 13 goals his first year when the team was terrible and couldn't get the team and got kicked out.
Dave, this is why
now he comes back.
This is why there are two different categories. There is the traditional comeback, and then there's the Ben Bear comeback player of the year, which Sebas Ferreira would be in the mix for, as well as both Italians in Toronto.
We have to define that. Traditional comeback means coming back from an injury or underperformance related to an injury, whereas the Ben Bear comeback means coming back from playing like trash.
Yes,
the
year
before.
You were poor, and now you are better.
Right.
All right, well, we'll see what happens there.
I'm voting Dylan Barrera, and I don't even know this is a thing we actually just voted on.
Okay. Assist king, Dave. Who you got? Thiago Almada was our assist king in 2023. Who will it be in 24?
Yeah, so the last four from last year all return. So Almada, Ace, Carlos Gil, and Lucho Acosta. That does not include two Argentines who did not play the full season, one being the guy I just mentioned, Emmanuel Reynoso, who per 90 was the top shot creator in the league, and Lionel Messi. So I think it's a safe one to go Messi all the time. If you don't, you go Reynoso. The four I mentioned, I think, are all back in the convo. And the ones that I thought could break through is Cucho, as we saw the way he, even though post El Arian, he scored more, he still created for Rossi. Gold, what we saw in Champions League, playing with Krylock around him as well. And then the two that I'm excited about are Georgie coming back into the league and hopefully going back to his 2021 form with Colorado, and then Jesus Ferreira. The one year he played with the true forward in Pepe, who was a teenager, he put up 9 assists. He's put up 6 the last 2 years. He's going to play behind Musa. He'll have Areola and Kamungo around him. There's a decent chance he could flip his numbers this year and put up high double-digit assist numbers and be around 10 for goals.
Did you mention Carlos Gil? Did I just black out?
Yeah, Gil was in the – it was Almada, Ace, yeah. Gil, and Lucho
takes
from last
two guys,
year.
Takes two
and
guys
Christian Espinoza.
Takes two guys to create an assist, though, right? Like a guy who creates a chance and a guy who finishes a chance – and that's going to be an issue maybe for Carlos Gil.
Who you calling probably out? Who for, you calling out right now?
Probably for Georgie Petrovic or Georgie Mihailovic as well, because it's like nobody in Colorado has proven themselves to be a reliable MLS goal scorer.
Omer Fernandez.
Hafa Navajo's face.
Jonathan Lewis has got five goals in preseason. Yeah,
this leaves a bad taste. I'm going to go Carlos Gil on this one. I just think the volume that he's able to produce is crazy, and I know he'll be there all year, and it seems like he's been
Lionel
pretty durable.
Lionel Messi
recently.
Is the all-time leader in assists.
Like how many
professionally,
games is he going to...
And he has... I think he's led his league in assists something like 15. 16 times in the last 16
These
years.
These are compelling stats that you're
And he's Lionel freaking out. Messi?
Right now.
I'm going to go out on a limb and cast a vote for Lionel Messi.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. All right. Landon Donovan, MLS MVP. This one is for me. I'm going to go Lionel Messi. Surprise, surprise. You've convinced me, but I think just...
You skip Golden Boot.
I know. We're going to get to it in a second. We'll do it right. We'll do it right before we go to the Golden Boot draft. All right. Or I'll do it afterwards.
Oh, look at that.
Lionel Messi, Landon Donovan, MLS MVP. I think that's the easy one. Everybody's going to cast that vote. It really depends on minutes, but even if he plays, I don't know, 60% of the minutes, the production is probably going to be at a level that is at or above just about anyone else. So that's a safe bet. Cucho Hernandez is my second choice there. I just think, you know, Rossi said after last year, I could have been much better. If he's much better and this crew team has another year with Wilfred and have the confidence and sort of the buoyancy of winning MLS Cup, the carefree attacking soccer that they play at times and the structure they're in, Cucho's got a chance to go for 30 combined goals and assists. And if he does that and the crew are good, there's every chance he's your MVP.
Dennis Bouanga, because LAFC lost about 50% of their minutes from last year. He's the only DP on the team right now. He's surrounded by question marks, especially on that front line, but a little bit in the midfield as well. If LAFC get out the gates and are at or near the top of the Western Conference, it'll be because of Dennis Bouanga. And he will have a strong MVP candidacy if he produces like he did last year. So that's a name we shouldn't overlook in it. The question I made the case for the Sounders being the best team in the Western Conference heading into. They don't really have an MVP candidate, do they?
Who's the guy? No. Joao Paulo again, back into this.
Yeah, it would be awesome if a D-mid finally won.
He had his time. I mean, unfortunately for defensive midfielders, that's just the way it works in MVP voting. Yeah. Dave, who sneaks in here? You got Messi, you got Cucho, Denny Bouanga. Who else is in this combo?
I mean, I've been saying it for 6 months. The 2024 MLS MVP finalist, Evander of the Portland Timbers. 9 goals, 6 assists last year. Teams should be more cohesive this year around him. They'll have a better back line. Your hope is they're a little bit healthier as well. So I think if Portland makes a jump like they potentially could, he's an obvious one to go into that conversation. But as of now, I would vote for Cucho because I don't know how many games Messi is going to play.
It feels wrong that we're having this conversation without at least saying the name Hani Mukhtar.
There's a couple names in here. I mean, Thiago Almada, you would say, if you didn't know about his future regarding the summer. Georgios Chakamakis, I think, is going to score just a crazy amount of goals. Now, Denny Bouanga did the same thing last year, and he didn't win MVP. So this goes back to what we were saying about Coach of the Year, which oftentimes MVP gets tied in with – team success. Has to, really. Like, what is the value you're bringing?
And
go ahead.
And I would add, it sounds like Aceh is going to be hurt. It sounds like a lot of the guys that should be mentioned, we think won't play enough minutes this year or won't be in the league to, like, be the MVP. But I'm shocked that you guys haven't talked yet about your shrine hero, Ricky Pooch.
My shrine was a Chicharito shrine.
I love Ricky Pooch. It's a really good shout. I probably should have mentioned him. I'm a little bit leery of picking the Galaxy for anything related to playing good soccer. Even though I like the roster.
Wait. Walk us through that one. Yeah.
I just don't think the Galaxy are going to be great.
So it's results, not style.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. I should have said winning soccer.
Got it.
I think they'll be better. I think they'll be better than they were last year. I do think that the two DP signings they made, the two wingers, look very good. If Jovalich gets healthy, I think that he could be like a dark horse Golden Boot candidate. They're so bad in rest defense, and Ricky's a big part of that, that it's hard.
Ricky takes rest literally.
Yes, exactly.
In that scenario.
And they're just not organized behind that. And then you know, the center backs that they started in their last preseason game were a combined 75 years old. Like, there's just a lot. You know, they have question mark at goalkeeper. So Ricky could play awesome, and the Galaxy could score 70 goals, and he still might not be in this discussion.
Yeah, a lot of injuries for the Galaxy right now, which we'll talk about more here in a little bit as we prepare for match day one. But they are kind of dragging when it comes to availability. Let's do the Golden Boot, then we'll hit extra time and do this Golden Boot draft with Tom Bogert. So I'm not going to give away any of my intel here, Doyle, but you have the first overall pick. So who's winning the Golden Boot for you?
Lionel Messi.
Okay, who's second place in the Golden Boot?
The guys who are keepers in the Golden Boot draft, so Cucho, Bouanga, Giakoumakis, like those, like that's the clear top four going into this season.
All right, you'll get more of our thoughts in the Golden Boot draft. Don't want to give away any intel. Don't want to give away strategy.
I will say, if the Fire add a playmaker sometime in the next 96 hours, like a high level playmaker, then that makes Kuipers one of the most interesting goal scorers in the league.
All right, extra time categories. We fill in the blanks where others won't or are not capable of doing so. D-mid of the year, Matt Doyle, take it away.
Yeah, it was Nwobodo last year. It wouldn't be shocking if he was again this year because he's awesome and he has a midfield partner now who's probably a little bit more attacking, and that means Nwobodo will be like even more of a true sit and conduct kind of D-mid. A
lot of good words coming out of Cincy camp about Pavel Buscha.
Yeah.
Pat Noonan and others really praising him.
Victor Wanyama was my choice for this 2 years ago when he was playing for Wilfred Nancy and then did not fit under Hernan Losada. And now he's playing under Laurent Courtois, who, of course, was the coach at Crew 2 and has implemented a style that is, by all accounts, very similar to Wilfred Nancy's
style. There are
style.
Even reports out of Montreal right now that Courtois takes some of what Nancy does to an even greater level in buildup. So watch that closely to start.
Other guys who will be in this discussion, El Brujo every single year. James Sands, I didn't think was great last year, but he has the team around him entering this season. Asier Yarramendi was, I think, very good for Dallas. Maybe not a true D-mid, but
he's like Darlington Nagbe, basically.
Yeah, Darlington Nagbe is another name. Shout out Daniel Edelman.
Let's go.
Like, he... kid's just a maniac out there, like an old-fashioned win-the-ball D-mid. And, of course, the guy down in Miami, Sergio Busquets. Do we think that Cesar Araujo for Orlando can make a
jump? Yeah, that's a challenge. It's him or Cartagena, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have sitting back in the coat. We just talked about an MVP candidate from years ago. If the Sounders are the best in the West and near the Shield, Joao Paulo has got to be in that conversation.
Absolutely. Go ahead, David.
The two that I would add in is Archer, even without Ache, yeah. And he may even be elevated because of that.
He will be.
And then my question would be, what positionally or formation-wise, what has to happen for Atuesta to be in this conversation?
Well, I don't think he's going to play as a D-mid. I think they brought him back to play as a free eight in a 4-3-3. I think it's still Ilie who is the back point of that formation. Now, if Ilie is hurt or he gets old and just can't do it, then it's probably Atuesta's job. And, you know, 5 years ago, he was my favorite player in the league to watch. And if he's that guy again, you better believe I will be on this show twice a week for the entire year saying Eddie Atuesta is the best.
Doyle's going
to
come in on his day off just to praise Eddie Atuesta. He's just going to show. He just get a drop, Anders. We'll just record a drop for him on that one. I think Artur is a great shout, Dave. There's so much pressure on Artur right now, not to perform necessarily, but to stay healthy.
Yeah.
If he is not available, that is just a kidney punch for this Houston team that's going to have to really scramble to replace Ache, Quiñones, the absence of Baird, etc. So we'll see what happens there. All right. Fullback of the year, outside back of the year, whatever terminology you want to use on this one. This is me. Who won last year? Who'd we give this to?
It was, well, we included wingbacks. Oh, so Barrial. We included Barrial.
Yeah, Barrial. So Kevin O'Toole is the obvious... No, I'm sorry, I couldn't... But he's our guy, man. He looks like a starter in NYC. Some names I'd throw out there. Omar Campos for LAFC at left back. Just an incredibly talented player. First year in MLS, maybe asking for a little bit too much. I'm very curious to see Mickey Yamane in LA.
Three-time best 11 in the J-League.
Yep. Seems like a good profile, but some chaos around him, certainly in the back line. You mentioned Caleb Wiley. I'm going to go to the other side. I think Brooks Lennon is going to put up crazy numbers this year for Atlanta. So I'm going to go Brooks Lennon on this one. Maybe a little bit outside the norm.
It is.
But
I like that pick because Brooks Lennon 2 years ago was just end line to end line, very linear. After Leagues Cup last year, Gonzalo Pineda started using him as like coming inside as an ad hoc central midfield. And Brooks Lennon had way more to his game than I expected to see. It's a good shout. I'll go with John Tolkien. I think the Red Bulls are going to be good. David rattled off the numbers. I think it was 5 goals and 8 assists across all competitions last year. Like, that's a really good return. David?
Weeby, it is such disrespect that you brought up Omar Campos on a team that has Ryan Hollingshead.
No, it's fair.
It's like the classic Drag of me. Ryan Hollingshead.
Drag me.
I'm not going to vote for either. Or I'm not going to pick either of them.
Dante Sealy. Say it.
It's happening. It's finally happening. I'm going to say John Tolkien as well for all the reasons that we've said.
Give us the Dante Sealy rundown in 25 seconds real quick, though.
Well, he was naturally a winger, so they're converting him to the wingback position. So it's going to be attacking. It's going to be aggressive going forward. He's a guy who, whenever I've seen him play, stays super wide and loves 1v1 situations. And so if he gets isolated, he will take anyone on, and then he gets into the goal-scoring area. And if anyone here is an older MLS fan, they know that. He knows how to put it away.
And he's part of the same age cohort as Gio Reyna, Joe Scally, Ricardo Pepi, the late 02s, early 03s. And Sealy was considered the second best talent among that group behind Gio Reyna. Now, obviously, it didn't go well for him on loan with PSV. He's back. He is reportedly taking a much more professional approach to the game. And so far from what we've seen from FC Dallas this preseason, they're going to a 3-4-2-1. They're looking a lot like Columbus. And we know how Columbus used their wingbacks. And Dante Sealy has produced commensurate with his talent so far in preseason.
I mean, there's other names on this list you have to go back to the well on. Kai Wagner is certainly
absolutely
one of those names. A bunch of players that have sort of established their bona fides over
DeJuan Jones.
DeJuan Jones, yeah.
DeJuan's a good one as well. So we'll see where that shakes out. This is what you've all been waiting for. However many minutes have passed by, you've just been ticking, ticking, ticking. The David Goss Theorem Player of the Year comes roughly 40 minutes after the start of this show, but it's first in our hearts. David, take us through it.
There's a guy named Lionel Messi.
First explain it, just in case.
Oh, if anyone doesn't know Goss Theorem, it's the player who we give a year for them to settle in because coming into MLS is hard, and then they explode their second year because we've seen a lot of players that have huge notoriety. We've mentioned a lot of players this show that are new acquisitions that are going to bomb this year, and we're all going to be out on them. And then a year later, they're going to turn into Lucho Acosta, Hani Mukhtar, some of the best players in this league. It took them a year to figure out a lot of different parts of the league. And that's why I have hope for a young player like Lionel Messi, a player that can find his feet and sort of figure out the travel and the expectations and the pressure that is in this league that is so different from every other league. So if we're not saying Messi.
Messi, he obviously disappointed, though. Only scored 1 goal in MLS play.
Exactly.
Terrible debut.
Exactly. So some of the obvious names, most of them are DP signings. Sam Surge goes on this list. You put Enzo Capetti on this list. You could put Dante Van Zier on this list. Ty Baribo. I'm a little curious what you guys think about Boupenza. He had 5 goals in 600 minutes. So if you extrapolate it out, he technically had
He was 99th percentile in goals per 90, and he was 99th percentile in expected goals per 90. I don't think he struggled in year one.
Okay, I think that's fair. So I think Surge is one of the like really obvious ones because of how much he'll play, because of the way that team's built around him. I think Van Zier as well, with Forsberg coming in and now settling. He had obviously a ton of issues last year. So settling in year two is sort of an example of like figuring it out, less pressure, less excitement. Christian Oliveira, I mentioned in the under 22 convo. I think he's going to be massive. And I mentioned Evander in the MVP, who had 9 goals and 5 assists in 2,200 minutes. But I think he's capable of pretty much double that.
Like, so it would have to be for Evander. It really would have to be a MVP campaign for him to truly qualify.
Best 11 convo. Yeah.
Yeah. 30 total goals.
Let me ask you this. Diego Rossi.
No.
Because he's not.
Yeah. And he was already Young Player of the Year. Like, he won 22 under 22, I think. Can Giacomo Vrioni get like a red shirt in his MLS career? So he's a double David Goss Theorem Player of the Year.
I like that. I like the red shirt idea.
He'll be a fifth-year UConn senior, so he gets the opportunity.
Dude, our point guard is a sixth-year senior, my friend.
Stay in college for as long as you can. That's a universal.
Especially with NIL.
If you can, stay.
Let me throw out another numbers one is Moussef Bakar, who was off the charts, everything expected, but only scored 3 goals, only had half a year, young player, There are a lot of options now in NYC, but it seems like he'll come in as the starter at that center forward position.
I'm going to throw one more name out there as we hit the three-minute mark. Martin Ojeda.
Oh, that's a good call.
I didn't even know if he was going to be on the team.
What do you mean?
There sounds like there's rumors he wants to go back to South America. I don't know if it's still possible.
Don't say that. No, Martin, I did not see those rumors.
Martin,
no. You've got Muriel in front of you providing space. Facundo locked in. Ladero. Whew. Martin, no. No. You were the reason why I took him in my Golden Boot draft last year. That didn't work out that well for me. But he's a David Guster and probably the year possibility if he sticks around. All right, keep it moving. It's the Dom Baji first time double digit scorer. Now, Dave, you just brought up a good point in the chat, which is that Dom Baji never actually scored 10 MLS goals in a single season.
He's still eligible for this award.
He is, but he's now in Turkey. Unfortunately, we had so much fun rooting for Dom Baji. And we will hopefully do so again. So maybe we can call this the Dom Baji, but then honorary Duncan Maguire / Nico Joachini, first time double-digit goal scorer. Obviously, it is what it is. It's a player that has not yet, specifically at a top level, scored double digits in his career.
We're talking just league. We're not talking all competitions.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who is your guy?
Is it for me?
Yeah.
This is my... Oh, all right. Corey Baird. I think he's the obvious choice because it looks like he's the starter in Cincinnati, replacing Brandon Vasquez. We know that he has an MVP caliber playmaker behind him. We know that Aaron Bupenza does not love to pass the ball, but he can. By the way, I mentioned his 99th percentile expected goals and actual goals. 7th percentile in assists for Aaron Bupenza.
Yeah, but that's not what he's out there to do, man.
Correct. But I still think that, look, this is the first time we're going to see Corey Baird playing as a second forward, basically a 9.5. And I think that's his natural position. He's always been either a winger or last year, especially a center forward. And he's been pretty good in those spots. I think he can elevate another level and be close to excellent as a second forward. Something like 11 goals, 7 assists wouldn't shock me at all. I think he had 14-8 across all competitions last year. So it's in him to do it. He's the only obvious choice I see on the board.
Really? I got some obvious choices.
Okay, go ahead.
Danny Musovski. Let's just say Raul Ruidíaz, it doesn't work out. He's a possibility. I would say there's two stronger possibilities.
I mean, right now, Danny Musovski enters the season third on the depth chart.
Look, everybody always doubts Danny. That's the way it goes.
Stop.
Here's two. One, I think, is we're all rooting for. We'd all be really happy. Bernie Camungo.
Okay.
Bernie Camungo, double-digit goal scorer. If you can't tell, I'm kind of locked in on FC Dallas.
Absolutely.
I've fallen in love with 29 teams, and I'm just sorting through it now. But here is my real one. Elias Manuel.
That's
messed up. That's not right. That's messed up. Elias Manuel has looked good in the preseason, is very talented, now has Emil Forsberg behind him.
I will see your Elias Manuel, and I will raise you a Jonathan Lewis. 5 goals so far in the preseason.
We suckered him in.
Going to be getting tap-ins from Georgie and Cole Bassett. It's going to happen. This is the year. For Jonathan Lewis.
Your Mason Toy Do It For The Brand award winner for this year on Doyle's side is obviously going to be Jonathan Lewis. We got like 5 seconds here, Dave. Shoot us some names.
Moonsef Bakrar, as I talked about. Bongi has never scored more than 10 goals.
That's true.
That's crazy.
He had 8 goals on 13 expected goals last year in league play.
And the last one in more of the Dom Baji range is 29-year-old Tyler Boyd, who has only scored 10 goals one time for Wellington Phoenix in 2014, and it was when they weren't playing in the A-League, so I'm going to say he's eligible.
That's good research.
I like
that. That's some good research right there. I thought you were dragging the A-League, but you know it all came out right in the end. All right, the Alvaro Barreal, good player to All-League. This has previously been the Aaron Long, good player to All-League selection here. I'm going to go, we've mentioned his name a couple times, I'm going Jackson Reagan. I think he was basically almost there last year, maybe didn't get the credit that he deserved, and part of that is playing next to Yaimar. Part of that is playing for the Sounders. There's just so many standout players around you. But this is Jackson Reagan's year, I think, to step up into that. Hey, is he best 11? It's not just sort of a bit or, you know, a campaign that we have on Extra Time to get him some respect when people aren't talking about him. It is straight from the heart of Anders. Set to be a truth this year that Jackson Reagan is one of the best center backs in the entire
league.
You're
talking about CCL champion and starter Jackson Reagan.
Yeah, there were a bunch of other players on that field. Anders, I get it. I know. I know you think he's already there, but the community at large has to catch up with the trend, okay? What are better ones? Dave, what do you got? Who's a better good player to all-league selection?
I think Tafari fits in this if he's going to go to being a Defender of the Year candidate. I think maybe this is more Goss theorem, but I think Matias Laborda could be in this conversation of like taking a step up and being noticed, especially with the way he played last year. I think Jesus Bueno could end up being one of these players if Jose Martinez misses time and he steps in and sort of does a lot of the similar things for Philly there. I think all of the Revs kids could be in this conversation, depending on like what you already think about them and what you already know about them.
Would you count Tomas Csonkolai in that? He's not a kid.
No, I would not count him in that.
Okay, so you're already thinking he's up at that level. Okay. Anybody we missed, Will?
No, I think you guys hit the obvious ones. I feel like I'm blanking on someone, but it's just not, it's not coming to me.
I mean, I say, when Matthew Schwanier becomes an MVP candidate from an all-star, he could be in a conversation like this.
I appreciate that shout. Well done. Well done.
Do you think that if Kellen is elite in Chicago, that would count, or he's already been considered?
I think he's already been at that level. He was so good in 2017. Or no, 2016 is when he was so good with FC Dallas, and then 2017.
I mean, he had the year with Colorado when they finished top of the West.
2021.
Well. Yeah. There have been those moments.
I think we had him extra time best 11 that year.
I think we probably did.
Yeah. Let me finish with one more ETR. Two more ETR specials. Andrew Privet and Patrick Aujemont.
That is, I love it.
That is special.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely special. All right. Our final extra time category here is your Wilfred Nancy first-year coach primed to succeed, David Guss. Who's the first-year coach that's going to have
the best? Is this first-year coach in MLS?
In MLS.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. From anywhere in the world. Primed to succeed. Otherwise, it's... So, Anders, I know you're looking crazy at me right now. There's too small of a pool otherwise.
Wait, so first year at their new team?
Yeah, first year at their new team. That's why it's Wilfred Nancy. So it's not first-time head coach. It's just this is their first year in this project, and they are going to succeed.
I assume Tata Martino is not eligible
for
this.
Second year in his project.
Okay. I think the obvious one would be Laurent Courtois because he is Wilfred Nancy. And the thing you were saying from Montreal, by the way, there were moments with Crew 2 in their mid-block build-out where their goalkeeper was further up the field than center backs. And it was like not uncommon. And I don't understand even why. So Laurent Courtois does it all at the highest level. I think he's the obvious one. I would pick Sandro Schwartz. Actually, sorry. Excuse me. Caleb Porter obviously going to win MLS Cup in year one. That's what he does. So Caleb Porter.
He won MLS Cup in year two in Columbus, just for the record.
Really?
Yeah. Right? Because it was he managed in Portland until 2017, took a year off. Then 2019 was his first year with the Crew. 2020, they won MLS Cup.
All right, take it back. Sandro Schwartz.
There you go. I just made the case for you.
Where do the Red Bulls finish in the East?
I'll say fifth or fourth.
Okay.
That feels about right.
Caleb or Schwartz or other?
I'll take the field. I don't...
You get five options?
I mean, like, for whatever reason, I feel like Troy Lesane is really going to work in D.C. And it's stupid because I look at their roster and they have like the 13th best roster in the Eastern Conference. But for whatever reason, I have a good feeling about DC United. And I might be the only person in the world who can say that.
Like I said, I've fallen in love with all 29 teams. So I'm right there with you. Dean Smith and
you
Charlotte.
You have not looked at Toronto if you've fallen in love with all 29 teams.
Yeah, well, it's more of like a, you know, it's like that relationship. It's toxic. You can't get out of it. You want to leave, but you can't. You just get pulled right back in. Dean Smith and Charlotte are having a nice preseason. Now, I am of the camp that says I don't care about that when it comes to actual MLS soccer games.
And yet, Jonathan Lewis, 5 goals so far for Colorado.
And yet. I think Caleb Porter or Schwartz are probably your best options on this, but a good group of coaches because there was a lot of change last year to sort
through. So just the one we haven't mentioned is Chris Armas and Phil Neville. Those are the two that we haven't mentioned.
Big Philly needs to get some DPs in line there, and Colorado's an absolute crapshoot, but those are good calls. Those are good calls. All right, it's that time. Welcome to your 2024 Golden Boot Draft, presented by the Doctor of Vibes, Tommy Scoops, who is back to defend his title. Tom Boger, what's up, man?
What's going on, boys? I wish that I was in studio or on camera. I was going to go to my parents' house and get in one of the many golden boots that I've won in my my crappy youth career. And I was just going to show you guys, but I thought that Doyle might actually have a stroke if I did that.
Wait a minute. Did you actually won golden boots as a youth soccer player?
Wall High School, 2 years running. I have the hardware to prove it. My parents.
Now hold on. Is that golden boot within your team, or is that golden boot within the league that you were competing?
Within the team.
No, it doesn't come. MVP trophies.
They're actual golden boots, boys. I don't know what to tell you.
Boo. This man doesn't even, he's a defending champion. You don't even know what a golden boot is. All right, here are the rules. One keeper per team from your 2023 Golden Boot draft team. We have some great options out there. We've set those already. Might as well take you through them. Doyle, who finished last, but because he was last, got Lionel Messi midseason. Doyle is holding on, predictably, to Lionel Messi. I finished second to last, but I did draft Georgios Giakoumakis to start the season, and I have the Greek god of goals going straight into my team as a keeper. Feel good about that one. I was disappointed to see that David Goss has Cucho Hernandez. So Dave will hold on to Cucho, and then Tom Kalin will hold on to Denny Bawanga, though Hani Mukhtar was an option for them. They went Denny Bawanga. We'll see if they regret that at a later date, but those are your four keepers. Nine picks, 10 players per team to start. We reserve the right to add more picks midseason based on transfer window incoming signings. Snake format, 1-2-3-4, 4-3-2-1, 1-2-3-4. You understand how that works. And then here is the tiebreaker. I thought last year we sort of jumped the shark with assists. I think, and speak now or forever hold your peace, that the first tiebreaker should be non-PK goals or non-penalty XG, just for the nerds out there. Jesus.
I think it's non-penalty XG. But that's going to require, Anders to tally up all the non-penalty XG. He's nodding. He's saying he can do it.
Why don't we
just do the Golden Blue draft as XG? But, you know, what's the point of playing for actual goals then? Like,
because the game actually is played on a spreadsheet, mate, when it comes to
I don't even want it to be XG. I want us to – can we find a model that projects the season and finish the Golden
Blue expected threat. We'll do expected threat. Exactly. Or do you want to do goals added as per American Soccer Analysis?
I want to know the winner tomorrow.
This is interesting. We could probably do this. I believe Anders and Tom have played enough Football Manager to probably simulate.
Wait, all right, so hold on a second.
An MLS season.
Tom, are you really against using XG as a tiebreaker?
Yes.
Okay. So then Weeby, we're going to use XG as a tiebreaker.
Sounds like
non-penalty goals
is in the lead.
No, I vote against it as well. We all know Kalen votes against it as well.
Yeah.
He wants it to be headed goals.
Maria, what do you got here? Break or tie here. What are we doing? Are we doing non-penalty XG or...
Oh, it's 3-2.
Non-PK goals. Non-PK goals, says Maria. In Maria, we trust. That is not to say that we have gone along with the, you know, whatever it is that your three unionized members have decided on. It's Maria's choice, and Maria is who we'll go with here. So non-PK goals. Doyle, you have the opening pick. Let's get this thing started. And once, you know, Anders will sort of control timing, so don't take forever. Otherwise, we're going to make a pick for you.
Aaron Bupenza.
Oh, off the jump?
Wow. Off the jump. I hesitated to take someone who does not take penalties for his team. But again, 99th percentile in goals, 99th percentile in expected goals. And I kind of suspect he's going to start taking penalties at some point. I don't know how that's going to go over with the number 10. But yeah, Aaron Bupenza is my first pick.
All right. Between three players here, can't tell you who they are. That's great radio. I'm going to go with Hani Mukhtar here. I just think a safe pick off the jump, and I'll get some wild cards down the line. Hani Mukhtar is going to be my guy. Probably a good bet for 13 to 17 goals, sort of year in, year out. I don't think I'll regret this pick. So Hani Mukhtar is who I'm going with. David Goss, you're on the clock.
I'm at the NBA All-Star game being inspired by Sam Presti. I'm wondering if I should trade Cucho and my number one pick this year for two picks next year and go all in 2025. So I'm talking to my ownership group about that. But outside of that, I think I'll go with another great small market team. I think I'm going to, that would be stupid. No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to triple down on Columbus being the best team, and I'm going to take Diego Rossi.
Wow.
Feels like a stretch.
Feels like That'll be fun to watch.
A little bit of a stretch, but I respect it. All right, you got back-to-back picks. Bad guys, Tom and Caleb. Are you taking?
What's the first round first pick? I'm going to go Daniel Gosdog, penalty theory. It's going to I'm fine with – I don't need a tiebreaker.
Boo.
This one's tough.
Have you consulted with Kalen on this at all?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
We're partners. He said just watch out for suspensions this year. with my other pick, I'm going to go with Jesus Ferrer.
Okay. I like that.
Nice.
Hey, assists are not your primary tiebreaker second anymore, so you know that could work out for you. Non-PK goals. Back to you, Dave. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the MVP. I'm going to go Lucho Costa.
17 goals last year, if I remember correct. Good choice there from you. All right. I am going to take... Give me Chicho Arango. I'm going Chicho Arango of RSL.
Like that. I thought he would last longer.
Yeah, he was one of my options last time. I want to get him off the board now. I feel like he'll be in position with Diego Luna taking a step up to really pick up some chances. And RSL is investing. I think he'll take a step forward this year from an attacking perspective.
Timu Pukki.
That's tough for me.
Hold on. I need to let the listeners know. Doyle forgot that he was in a group chat with me because it's one of the ones that I forget to respond to sometimes. And he was crowdsourcing some consultants, and he put in his draft cheat sheet, and he didn't remember that I was in the chat. So I have a look inside Team Matt Doyle.
And yet you still took Daniel Gosdog in the first round. That's a questionable. You had all this information, Tom.
So I want to shout out my guy.
Do you remember that he finished? Why he's going first? Because they finished in last season. So.
I was tanking for Messi. I won. So I won the prediction contest last year. I won the Golden Boot trophy draft last year. I obviously would have won the Golden Boot draft as well if I had taken it seriously. But we were tanking for the number one choice, which we got. And we got Lionel Messi out of it. It was like I had a perfect season as far as I'm concerned.
So you're Pukki and who?
So let me just shout out my guy.
Messi is the James Wiseman of Major League Soccer.
I'm going to shout out my guy, TyWeave01 on Reddit, because it's actually his cheat sheet that I'm using that I dropped into.
Team Doyle, TyWeave.
Yeah. Petr Musa. I don't love Dallas's chance creation as much as I think Wiebe does, but I think it'll be good enough. And Moose has been a goal machine for in both Croatia and in limited minutes with Benfica, and it's freaking Benfica, man. So like I think he's gonna translate very well to MLS.
I like it. I do think the chance creation changes this year. We saw Bernie Camungo be just an absolute shot creation, goal creation monster.
That's true.
And Jesus pushed back. So
yeah, and of course Dante Seeley at left wing back.
We are going to make that train. Run on schedule, baby. So my turn. I got some good, like sure thing choices. I think I can't pass up Luis Suarez. I think you gotta get him early because the upside is so great. So give me Luis Suarez on my team. All right, Dave, you're up.
I'm worried about health right now with a couple of the guys that are high on my list and transfers. So I'm going to go safe pick here, and I'm going to go with Jordan Morris.
You're worried about health and you're taking Jordan Morris? I'm worried about your health, David. What the hell?
Woo! Let's go. Let's go. My tier one choices are down to three. We'll see where Mr. Tom Bogert goes.
Well, hang on. If it's a weeby list, that means tier one had about 34 players.
yeah, exactly. That's why I just said it. Who's your pick?
Christian Benteke.
That was in my tier one, just so you know.
That was the health I was worried about.
And then I'm split between a few guys, but they just announced it. I'll buy the hype. I'll go Luis Muriel.
Stop. Out the gate.
Let's do it. Are the reigning off-season champions winners, the banner parade that I get to attend because I crowned them.
How's Duncan McGuire going to feel about this after you just were the voice of his misery throughout this transfer saga?
Not happy, probably.
That's fair. Back to you, Dave.
Then maybe the next Duncan McGuire story is going to go to a different outlet.
Dave, who you got?
I'm going to go with Ooh, it's tough. I'm going to go with Christian Espinoza.
13 goals last year, maybe overperformed a little bit. All right. It's a choice.
Nice.
It's a choice.
He's just questioning it in his commentary.
You can't question this one. I thought you were going to take him. Brian White. Brian White of the Vancouver Whitecaps. I think he is guaranteed 10 goals, and you need consistency in your Golden Boot team top to bottom to take a dub.
Yeah,
so.
I had that image of him breaking down into the right side of the box last night, and then with Nahu out of goal, deciding he was going to try and square it to no one twice. So that was stuck in my head.
That's fair. That's a fair point. Two packs back-to-back for you, Doyle. Who you got?
I'm going to take Klaus. I know he overperformed last year, but he's been a consistent goal scorer whenever he's been available. Wow. You okay, David?
I wanted Klaus and his family in my squad, but I assume no one would take him because of health.
But did you assume that somebody was going to take Christian Espinoza next?
Nobody would take him because of health, and that's why David got stretched for Jordan Morris.
Who else is going to score in Seattle? You guys spent 40 minutes talking about Brian Schmetzer as coach of the year. Is the center forward not going to score a goal?
I'm taking Sebastian Giussi with my next pick.
Oh, he was my keeper last year. That didn't work out so well.
I mean, he still had, a dozen goals last year?
I don't remember.
Okay. Neither do I.
Yeah, but we're going to take him. We're going to take him. Yeah, is he a back-to-back? Is that your deal here?
That was it, yeah.
Oh, that's you. Okay. Okay, my sixth selection here. I don't trust his health.
He had 11 goals last year, for the record.
Give me Kuypers. Give me Kuypers. I mean, at this point in the draft, I think you got to take him off the board if he's there. I'm with you, Doyle, in the terms of like the chance creation. It just wasn't there last year, and there's not a piece coming in that would seem almost to fundamentally change it.
But I actually had him in my second tier ahead of the two guys I just took, but I couldn't justify having both Musa and Kuypers.
Oh, that's fair.
You know, like they're two. Both guys are unknown.
I didn't know where that was going. I thought it was going to be like, and this is why you're dumb for taking
him?
No,
no.
All right, Dave, you're up.
This might be the Tom Brenner pick from last year, but I'm going to go Julian Carranza.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Like, it almost feels at this point like Carranza is just like, no, I don't want to go to Werder Bremen. No, I don't want to go to that other place either. Like, what he really wants to do is run down his contract and then have his pick of clubs as a free agent at the end of the year. It's probably a good choice, David.
Or go back to Philly if he's not going to get the offer he wants and say, I should be a DP. My production justifies it. Give me a big
old
raise.
I mean, he is a DP, but like,
give me a big old raise.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can say via sources, he is definitely like, teams around the league believe with the right offer, Philly would be open to a trade at this point because there's less than a year left on his contract. So that would suit you well too, guys.
Okay. Back to back for you, Tom.
I'm going to go with Dejan Jovlić. They just haven't signed any other forwards. And the Galaxy, for all their defensive issues, they're going to attack. And I'll take a bounce back here there.
Chessmaster Dejan going to Tom. Who's your second pick in the back to back?
It's a little tougher. To go with, I don't think that they can get out of his contract, so he's going to play every game. It's Lorenzo Insigne. I'll step up and take the shot.
Wow. Sucker. I played that game last year.
You took him like second overall.
Yeah. I mean, good for you, Tom. Enjoy your ownership here. Well done. Well done. Dave, you're back up.
Tom, if you give me one of your middle school golden boots, I'll give you the rights I still have on Bernadeschi so that you can keep it together.
Gotta have the pair.
Okay. I guess I have to go with Levy's MVP favorite and coach of the year favorite, Facundo Torres.
He was a very possible pick of mine in the next.
I mean, he's going to miss a lot of time for Copa America, and then like he might be sold after that.
Okay, Doyle, cool.
Just all of us just waiting to rain on parades. Oh, it entertains me.
Doyle, I don't know if you heard, but Petar Moose is actually allergic to the wind and the sun, so he won't play a single home game.
God.
Okay. All right.
Who's up?
I'm up.
Okay.
Okay, not going to go doubles on Nashville. Just cannot bet on that attack. That would not be a smart move on my part. And that means I think I'm going to go with another guy who I think is a pretty I'm going to go Ryan Gauld here. I think it's just double digits. He's going to take the PKs. To me, it's a double digit bet here. It's not about upside, it's more about consistency. So give me Ryan Gauld.
Okay, I got two here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take Saba Labjanica.
Ooh.
What round are we in?
This is your eighth pick, or your seventh pick, eighth round, because you had a keeper.
Okay.
Three more picks left.
Thanks.
I think I hate doing this, but I got, like, the upside is there. Alan Pulido.
He's the only tier one guy I've got left on the board. I just can't. I have
him tier four.
He had 14 goals last year.
I know, but like, has he ever done it back to back in his entire life?
I don't know. He just got the contract.
And he just got the contract. Yeah,
not a good, not the best sign. Not the best sign. Back to me.
Back to you.
Yeah. Give me Jesus Ferreira. I'm a little bit worried about.
What are you talking about?
He was taking the second round, man.
I think I crushed somebody for that as well. Yeah. He was just sitting there. I was looking at two Ferreras, and that was the Ferreira I wanted to take. Okay, the difference.
Oh, no, you got Sebas now. It's over.
No, you have to take Sebas. Wait, we need a vote.
Give me Sebas Ferreira right now.
Anders is calling a timeout.
I want Sebas Ferreira. I want Sebas Ferreira.
Dude, if this guy scores like 15 goals, it's going to be
you
brutal.
You are never going to hear the end of this. This is even an average year.
That Weeby thought Jesus Ferreira was available, and he picked Brian White and Ryan Gauld over him.
We don't have to think too hard about this.
Brian White scored more goals.
We don't have to think too hard about this. All right, that was overall. I think that worked out pretty well for me. All right, Dave, you're up.
I'm gonna have confidence that Tom's gonna keep breaking more attacking news for me, and I'm gonna go Enzo Capetti.
Your boy.
I think it's a good late round value there.
Do you?
Just trying to build him up. Just trying to build him up, all right?
I was just asking a question.
Tom and Kalen, who you got?
Oh, man, there's still a lot of good players left on the board here. Man, again, as the dude who does transfers and stuff, I find myself leaning towards the hype and the new players. And I got to watch Emil Forsberg in real life this weekend, and he was a cut above everybody. So give me Emil Forsberg.
You have another pick, Tom.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Thank you. Thanks, Kamish. I'll take Jeremy Mobsey.
That's a good pick. That was going to be my next pick.
Back to you, Dave.
I'm going to go Johnny Russell.
Goss, did you just redraft the same team from last year?
No, I had Johnny Russell last year.
I had Luis Morgan last year.
Luis
Morgan.
Is he Colombian now? Not Scottish.
It's a Spanish cousin.
He's from that Venezuelan Scottish community.
He rebranded himself.
I will take Tomas Csankalay.
Damn it! I thought he'd make it.
Yeah, no. I was like, sitting here looking at. I was like, somebody off the Revs has to be on this list, and I just cannot get myself going for Vrioni. So,
all right. So I'm up. Are these my last two picks?
Yes,
they are my last two picks. Oh dang! I was, man. I need to make a meme pick in here. I'm gonna take Jonathan Lewis. I'm serious, 100%.
Yeah.
Jonathan Lewis.
Did USL goals count?
Wow.
You're a monster.
Save him for the end of shows.
And look, man, Bongi had 8 goals last year on 13 XG. He's going to have a full year of running with Reynoso and Pukki. I'm going to take Evander.
Oh, man. Okay, this is going to be... It's two guys. It's basically somebody I want to root for. It's between...
You got to go vibes here.
I'm going to go on vibes. I'm going to go Amal Pellegrino in San Jose. I just want him
to
I just want him to succeed so badly. And I don't really know why other than...
Well, his name is Amal Pellegrino, and he's Norwegian, right? Like, he's just like, he's a worldly man like yourself.
Something like that. So I'm going to go Pellegrino.
I just want to point out for the record that we have three Quakes drafted and one Sounder drafted.
I was going to say, we've drafted only two Inter Miami players and one LA Galaxy player, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Pantsil is close to being done. Tom could tell us better in LA, but I have some questions there. You got every opportunity to right these wrongs, Dave, because it's your pick.
Yeah, I won't do that, though. My list is thin right now. I'm going to go pure risk.
Felipe Mora. Good choice.
I'm going to go Diego Rubio.
Okay. No, I think it's that part of the draft. We'll have an opportunity mid-year to sort of pick up the pieces as well. So I like it. I like it. What do you got, Tom? Finish this off.
All right. I got to do the weeby list thing and just talk about it. It's crazy that Duncan McGuire isn't picked.
I vote we go one more round after this.
I'm fine with it. Approved. 11 players. Starting 11.
Right, I'll do it.
All right. Should have said that after Tom gave his full list.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I was about to look, Jaren Hunter's here and staring me in the face, but I got to let him go here. I'm going to go with this one. We don't know the player's name yet, but I know that they're going to sign a DP forward. Portland Timbers, DP number 9, that will be here at some point in the future.
This is like...
Wait a minute.
I don't know about this.
We're asking the judges. Maria is shaking her head no. Anders says yes.
So let me argue it for your end. What if they don't sign a player until June? Yeah. What if they don't sign
I'm good
until
with this.
June?
Okay, now I'm good with this. If it doesn't happen...
I vote for this completely.
Okay, yeah, this is nonsense, so it's perfect for us.
Okay.
So you drafted Duncan McGuire, who's going to be gone by June.
No, I didn't draft Duncan McGuire.
He just tried to seed the doubt on Duncan McGuire. Okay. But
I was saying that I thought that I had the last pick there, but now I know I have one more.
This is a designated player, number 9, signed by the Portland Timbers. Just establishing all the parameters. It cannot be Tam. Could it be a young DP? You don't care about the type of DP.
No, their next DP signing.
Young or old or normal.
Yeah.
Their next DP signing.
Of any type. What if it's not a number 9?
They're signing a DP at some point in the near future.
Is Merritt texting you right now that they're about to sign Alvaro Morata?
Because then if I knew exactly who it was, I'd feel more confident. But again, I don't.
Okay,
that's well known true.
You have one more pick here to go back to back to go to 11s.
Yeah. This is tough. All right, Dante Van Zier comeback season. Let's go.
Stop. I mean, he's been scoring goals in preseason. He's got Forsberg with him.
The game that he scored, the St. Louis game that I watched, he was so bad. But he scored. So
more of a Mateus Manuel guy here.
All the coffee shops. Getting all the chances out. So that was good.
Okay. That's why we expanded to 11. Dave, you got one more pick now.
So if I was going to go on brand, I would obviously take Jules Anthony Villasant. If I'm not going to take him,
take Kwadwo Opoku.
Yeah, you got to have at least one Montreal guy who's going to disappoint you. That's just the way it has to go.
I was going to leave Opoku for Doyle because I feel like
I had Opoku last year. That didn't work out that well.
I'm going to say Moncef Bekar.
You do know NYCFC just signed a Serbian youth international for $8.5 million, right?
A 19-year-old?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably going to get the offseason championship of the year, right?
I'm just saying, he's the center forward. Brackbar's the center forward.
So still,
they play one center forward. And historically, 19-year-olds have dominated the center forward position in MLS.
I'll make a bet right now. Mijatovic scores more goals than Brackbar this season.
All right. There it is. What's the bet?
I don't know. I've got all sorts of side action on this.
If Tom wins, he gets to keep his golden boot trophies that are fake. If he loses, Dave, you get to take those golden boot trophies and do whatever you want with them.
Tom, we got to get a couple more things in and we'll just make it a parlay.
All right. Still on the board, just so people know. Here's some of the names I still have on the board. Corey Baird, who you said was going to get 10 goals here, mm-hmm. Doyle. Jhonny Silva. Sam Surridge is still on this board. Giacomo Veroni. Martin Ojeda. Felipe Mora. Sam Adinerin. I am going to take Bernie Camungo. I'm going Bernie.
Yeah.
Wigan to Bernie's for me. I just, again, a vibe pick. This is just somebody I'm rooting for. I want him
also
on my squad.
Still there.
Yeah. And that's my last pick. I'm taking Bongi. I think 16 or 17 goals across all competitions last year. And again, 99th percentile in expected non-penalty expected goals. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about my team.
What do you think? Maria Anders, thumbs up, thumbs down. Tell me who you think has the best team in this year's Golden
Draft. How are they going to do that with thumbs?
They're going to thumbs up, thumbs down. Yeah, no, fair. Tom, thumbs up, thumbs down. Everyone's, it's universal, Tom.
All right,
thumbs
hold down. On a sec. Hold
entire
on a sec.
Room, thumbs down.
We have to read off the individual teams.
Do right
we?
No, Joel, you need to cheer them.
All right. Tom Kalin has taken Denny Bawanga, Daniel Gosdag, Jesus Ferreira, Christian Benteke, Luis Muriel, Dan Jovovich, Lorenzo Insigne, Emil Forsberg, Jeremy Obobese, a Portland Timbers DP number 9, and Dante Van Zier. David Goss, Cucho is his keeper. Diego Rossi, Lucho Costa, Jordan Morris, Christian Espinoza, Julian Carranza, Facundo Torres, Enzo Capetti, Johnny Russell, Diego Rubio, and Moncef Bracar. The Fightin' Weebies got Yakumakis, Hany Mukhtar, Chicho Arango, Luis Suarez, Brian White, Hugo Kuipers, Ryan Gold, Sebas Ferreira, Tomas Chankalai, Amel Pellegrino, and Bernie Camungo, and your last place team from 2023. But first, in Lionel Messi's heart, the Fightin' Doyles, Messi, Bupenza, Puki, Musa, Klaus, Driussi, Saba, Lobajanice, Pulido, Jonathan Lewis, Evander, and Bongi. I think I got the best team. Obviously I do. You know, I've got experience winning this thing after all. So let's finish here. Mailbag, biggest shrine player in Weeby's Closet of the Year. Who's the guy you're rolling with on straight vibes this year? You just want him to succeed. You're rooting for him. You might even be lighting candles for them in the dead of night. Doyle, who's your guy?
Oh, I was not ready for this question, but I just took Jonathan Lewis in the Golden Boot draft, and I feel like Colorado would be a fun story if it all comes together for them, and they need somebody to put the ball in the back of the net. And he's always, like, on a per 90 basis, that man knows where the goal is. For vibes, Jonathan Lewis, this is his year.
Light your candles, Dave. Who are you rooting for?
I mean, I've mentioned Nkosi Tafari like 15 times this show, so that feels pretty strong. And it combines with Jesus, who I want to like be the 10 of the world and score 20 goals and have 20 assists this year.
I'm going to change it for you, Tom. Who's your vibes player of the year?
You got to go back with the mustache gang. Matias Kokoro. See if Montreal News time.
That's a good mustache.
That's a great choice.
Who's your call, Weeby?
That's a really good choice. Guy I'm rooting for is Bernie Camungo, man. Yeah. Number one in my heart. I was just hoping that he would
Weeby.
Sit. What?
We're moving to Frisco, baby.
I don't know what happened. Like in the last 2 weeks, I've just convinced myself that FC Dallas are going to be awesome.
I will all say, like, collectively, Diego Luna is probably
that's a good one.
The number one pick in this particular draft. He's just so much fun to watch. And he was for the U.S. national team when he made his debut last month. He was for the U.S. U-20s. And hopefully we'll see it not just for RSL this year, but in Paris with the U.S. Olympic
He's talking
team.
A big game. He had his media availability with MLS this week and was saying, I'm going for it all. I want to be like a best 11 player. I want to go kill it at the Olympics. I want to earn a transfer like ASAP. So that comes with performing. All right, that's it for us. Always the best show of the year, in my opinion.
One more question for all of us.
Oh, no.
It's just a straight yes, no. Will Nuhu score his first MLS goal this year? Anders says no. Anders says no.
Come on.
Maria says yes. Weeby?
No. I would like the answer to be
Tom?
Yes, but no.
Yes.
Yes. David?
No. You got to keep the bit alive.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right. Season's coming soon. Officially 6 days away. Miami RSL, MLS season pass on Apple TV. Same price as last year. It is a drop in the bucket. If you're listening to a 90-minute awards show, you might want to watch the games as well. All right, that's it for us. Big thanks to, I don't know. I didn't really want Tom to be here, but he had to be as the defending champion. So thank you to Tom, to David, to, of course, Doyle, and to Maria and Anders. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you on Monday with a preview of the first game of the 2024 season and the trophy draft. Enjoy your weekend. Adios. We'll be right back.